Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giddhivadadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giddhivadadhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giddhivadadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giddhivadadhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paripracaka Charansha Astotarasuta Sri Shimad Abhoy Charanarabinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paripracaka Charansha Astotarasuta Sri Shimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupad ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gauda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Gidi Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Mathura Dham ki jai. Dwarka Dham ki jai. Ganga Mahi ki jai. Yamuna Mahi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulasi Devi ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Brind ki jai. Gauda Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jitendriyasya dantasya.
Jitendriyasya dantasya.
Jita swasatmano mune. Madharanam dharayata.
Madharanam dharayata.
Khasa siddhi sudurlabha. Jitendriyasya dantasya.
Jitendriyasya dantasya.
Jita saswatmano mune.
Jita saswatmano mune.
Madharanam darayata.
Madharanam darayata.
Khasa siddhi sudurlabha. Jitendriyasya dantasya. Jita swasatmano mune. Madharanam dharayata. Khasa siddhi sudurlabha.
Yeah.
Chita Indriyasya. Of one who has conquered his senses. Dantasya. Who is disciplined and self-controlled. Jita Swasa. Who has conquered his breathing. Atmana. And conquered the mind. Mune. Of such a sage, mat in me, dharanam, meditation, dharayataha, who is conducting, ka, what is, sa, that, siddhi, perfection, sudurlabha, which is very difficult to achieve. For a sage who has conquered his senses, breathing, and mind, who is self-controlled and always absorbed in meditation on me, what mystic perfection could possibly be difficult to achieve? Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami comments as follows. Lord Krishna here expresses that there is no need to practice many different processes, for by completely carrying out even one of the above mentioned procedures, one controls one's senses, becomes absorbed in Him, and thus achieves all mystic perfections. Srila Jiva Goswami notes that one must meditate on the transcendental form of the Lord, which is free from any material designation. This is the essence of advancing in the yoga system. Thus, one acquires all mystic perfections very easily from the personal body of the personality of Godhead. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Vidham Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahakana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, entitled Descriptions of Mystic Yoga Perfections, text number 32. In this chapter, the great devotee Uddhava is feeling deep apprehension in the very core of his heart, because he could sense that very soon his dear most beloved friend, Master, associate, Krishna, will soon bring the closing chapter to his pastimes in this world. Just as Arjuna, when he was in a state of great need, he humbled himself before Krishna in Kurukshetra, and Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Similarly, Uddhava is approaching Krishna, revealing his heart, and with all sincerity, humility, asking for guidance. And thus this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Uddhava Gita, is being spoken. In this particular chapter, Uddhava is asking Krishna about the nature of mystic yogi powers, the ability to perform what ordinary people would consider incredible miracles. With these miracles can come enormous fame, prestige, wealth, enjoyment, elevation to spheres of material happiness that cannot even be properly imagined by ordinary people. But interestingly, Uddhava has no desire for any of them. He's asking about them so that Krishna will explain, so that the value of bhakti, or love for the Supreme, can be better appreciated. Sometimes when we see the contrast of various items, we can better appreciate the value of what is superior. So as Krishna is explaining the mesmerizing characteristics of these cities, these yogic perfections, one who hears is spellbound, truly incredible. But Krishna, throughout the whole thread of this discussion and its conclusion, it is utterly insignificant and not in the slightest way desired by one who aspires for divine love, prema. Rupa Goswami has written as the very foundational basis of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of bhakti, this revealing verse, Hanya vilatita sunyam jnana karmanya navritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktarutama. What is true bhakti? It's not just devotion. It's not just offering some service or doing some puja. True bhakti is the awakening in the heart of a person, such a deep desire to love and please the Supreme Lord that there is no desire for any amount of material satisfaction. What to speak of wealth and fame, what to speak of sensual pleasures, even elevation to the higher planets. Such a person does not want any of the mystic cities, the capacity to perform miracles. Such a person is not even the slightest interested in liberation, salvation, freedom from all suffering forever. Such a person simply wants to please the Lord with love. Because nothing else pleases the Lord except love. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna reveals in Bhagavad Gita, he's the proprietor of everything that exists. He tells, I'm the ability in every person, in every living being, the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent. All the resources of nature are created and ultimately the property of the Supreme. So what can we give him? One time a devotee approached Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to make Prabhupada very happy. He wanted to show his own passionate sincerity. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I am going to renounce everything. Srila Prabhupada understood his heart. He said, Prabhupada said, does everything belong to Krishna? The person said, yes. He said, then what do you have to renounce? Nothing is yours to renounce. So this person who was previously very enthusiastic, now he was speechless. Srila Prabhupada concluded the discussion by saying, the only thing that you have to renounce in truth is the false pride of thinking that you have something to renounce. Krishna creates universes. What is our creating of a temple or a building or a house? Krishna is in the heart of every living being, giving everybody intelligence. Does Krishna need our master's degree or PhD or how many verses we've memorized? Krishna's Yogeshwara, the source of everything, Janmadya Shayataha, who is the possessor of all powers. So he doesn't need anything from us. But he wants for us to receive his love. And the only way we could truly receive his love is by offering our love. Patram pushpam balam toyam yomi bhakta prayachchati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmana. Krishna tells, even if you give me a little water, a fruit, a flower, a leaf, with devotion, I will receive it. Everyone can do that. Whether we are billionaires or we're living in a cave with nothing, there's always a leaf somewhere. If it's offered with devotion, Krishna reveals himself to us. Krishna does not reciprocate with the quantity of what we offer. He reciprocates with the intention, with the sincerity to love and to please. And this is the subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Projita Kaita Bhadra. Of all the Vedic literatures, which describe various levels of realization, enlightenment, various types of happiness one can achieve in the system of Dharma or Yoga. But Srimad Bhagavatam is considered, proclaimed to be the Amala Puranam, the crest jewel, the culmination, the cream of all the Vedic literatures. Because it speaks on no other subject except the reciprocation of love between the Lord and the devotees. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami masuja. The Bhagavad Gita culminates with this verse. Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. And Srimad Bhagavatam, its 18,000 verses, begins from this point of dharma projita kaita vatra, of this surrender. In one sense, this very elevated state of Sharanagati is just the beginning of the path of perfection in the school of bhakti. Nasta prayeshi padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishloke. By simply studying the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and rendering loving service to those who live the principles of Bhagavatam, all the inauspicious things within the heart are cleansed. And the very essence of self-realization, ecstatic love, awakens from within us. Srimad Bhagavatam is story after story about the saintly devotees. What is their qualities? What they went through to receive the blessings of their realizations of divine love. Lord Chaitanya prays, Natanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye मम जन्मनि जन्मनेश्वरी भावतात भक्तिरहोय तकी त्वाई. This is the quality of each and every one of these saintly people. It's a universal principle at the heart and the core of all true dharma, true religion. A prayer to the Lord. I do not come to you for wealth or fame, prestige, or any type of sensual pleasures. I do not want powers or even liberation. I simply want to serve you and please you unconditionally. So the great question is, what pleases the Lord? Because there are so many interpretations. And according to the nature of our conditionings and our false ego, we could superimpose so many of our own ideas. We could write books. We could give lectures. We could form spiritual movements on what it is that makes God happy. Srimad Bhagavatam, the lives of the true saints actually reveal this truth. What makes Krishna most happy? To give pleasure to those who are dear to him. A father is far more happy if you make their little child happy. And a mother is probably even more happy. I see it every day. Last night at this wonderful Dada Rata Yatra, I don't know how many tens or hundreds and thousands of people came through the day, but so many mothers are coming with their little babies and children. And if I give some respect or honor to the mother smiles a little. But if I could make their little child smile, the mother's tears of joy come in her eyes. That's the nature of love. When you love unconditionally, the object of your love is more dear than yourself. People who love their country go to battle and die for their country. People who love money, my God, what they do to get money. People who love education, we'll go through years and years and years of exams and anxieties and suicidal tendencies to get an education. People who love another person are willing to do anything for that person. That's love. Ahoitaki apratihata. Because the more satisfying the love is dependent on how unmotivated and unconditional that love is. Unmotivated by selfishness or egoism. And unconditional means whether it's a sunny day or a stormy day. Whether it's easy or difficult. Whether it is pleasurable or painful. Our dedication to the well-being of our beloved is not hindered by circumstances. And that tendency to love finds its perfection and its origin on the eternal soul's love for the Supreme Soul, or God, or Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam tells, like watering the root of a tree, when that love is awakened, for the root of all existence, the source of everything, the supreme reservoir of all pleasure. And it naturally extends to every part of the tree of creation, to everyone. You cannot love God and dislike anyone. We may dislike what they do, but to hate the disease, but love the diseased. That is compassion. A saintly person, a sadhu, tadikshava karunaka surata sarvadehinam ajata satravasanta sarva sadhu bhushanam. Their power is in their forgiveness. Their incredible well-wishing compassion. It's comparably very easy to get all kinds of mystic perfections. It's comparably easy to get a lot of money and resources. But real wealth is to have no envy, no jealousy, no hate, to be unconditionally forgiving. Why? Because there's love that has awakened within our, from our soul. And how many stories there are in the Srimad Bhagavatam of this contrast. Hiranyakashipu was such a powerful person. He had the most enormous wealth of the universe. He had perfected such mystic cities and he was using it for his own powers. Nobody could stand before him without bowing their heads. And little Prahlad, his 5-year-old son, didn't have anything except love for Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was envious. He was greedy. And he was never satisfied, because you cannot be satisfied if you have envy, greed, or hate in your heart. It burns your heart. What drove Hiranyakashipu so crazy about his son is no matter how much he insulted him, no matter how much he tried to torture him, even kill him, little Prahlad was still his well-wisher. If only I could get my son to hate me, then I'm manifesting some power. He couldn't. And ultimately he was destroyed by his inability to appreciate his son's qualities. And this is a common theme. A saintly person is one like this. Not one who can show magic. But one who loves, who's forgiving, and who has no envy. Who serves with devotion. Who's everyone's well-wisher. Krishna is the property of such a person. When Vasudev Dutt, that great devotee, prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "The only desire I have, let me take on the sinful reactions of every single person in the universe, of all species of life. Let them all go back to your abode to enjoy eternal happiness with you. And let me suffer perpetually to give them that chance by taking all of their impious reactions. Because it breaks my heart to see people suffering in forgetfulness of you." breaks my heart to see people thinking they're enjoying such petty, superficial, insignificant illusions and being separated from the ocean of joy, which is their love for you. Lord Chaitanya cried. His voice was choked up. He said, "You are like Prahlad Maharaj." And then Lord Chaitanya, and from that time on, he would regularly say, "I am simply Vasudev Dutt's property. Wherever he wants to sell me, I am sold." To one who has such humility, such devotion, and such compassion for others, Krishna feels, "I am that person's property." This is very puzzling to the logical mind. If Krishna is the proprietor of everything and everyone, how is he saying that I am your property? If Krishna is Sarav, Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Kumara, he's the controller of all controllers. But yet he's saying, "I controlled by the humility and the love of my devotee." That's the nature of love. In its purest, most complete form, in Krishna, in Bhagavan, in the Lord Himself. When Jatayu, that great bird, was willing to sacrifice his love, his life, to help Sita, the beloved of Ram, Ram embraced Jatayu. It's not that when Krishna is pleased, we necessarily get our material desires or missions accomplished. In the case of Jatayu, he lost. He was about to die. But he attained the ultimate perfection. Ram was weeping. "There's no one I could love more than you, Jatayu. Today you will attain the ultimate perfection of life." The lives of the Lord's devotees are the most dear to the Lord. In fact, after being with Srila Prabhupada for so many hours, George Harrison wrote a song which Srila Prabhupada really appreciated, that mood. "The Lord loves those who love the Lord." Does that make sense? Because what is that love? When Gopa Kumar returned to the spiritual world of Goloka, Krishna greeted him and embraced him. The people of the spiritual world were wondering, "Who is this person?" Krishna's running to him, embracing him, crying. "You endured so many difficulties. I was with you. I was in your heart. I know what you went through to come here." So the very basis of the path of devotion is Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Please understand, however great our accomplishments may be, even in the path of devotional service, however much we know, however much we influence, however much we succeed, Krishna does not care for any of it. if we don't deeply appreciate the devotees. Madbhakta pujabhyadika, Srimad Bhagavatam tells. Krishna says that to love my devotee is more dear to me than loving me. To serve and worship my devotee is more dear to me than worshiping me. Because the devotee lives in a spirit of my compassion. There are many, many histories of great accomplished mystics who had supernatural powers. But we never find anywhere that Ram, Krishna, Bhagavan, Narasingha, Varaha, God are ever pleased with those things unless they're utilized with humility and devotion. Unless there's a deep appreciation for those who are trying to love the Lord. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami is speaking the very essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which means the essence of all the Vedic literatures. The Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, the 108 principal Upanishads and all the other Upanishads, the Itihastas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, the Puranas, the Samhitas, the Brahma Sutras, this incredible library of Vedic literatures which could fill warehouses with all their commentaries. It's all summarized in its essence in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami is speaking the very essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And how does he begin? By revealing the qualities in the hearts of a true devotee. And what is that quality? He emphasizes their capacity to appreciate other devotees. It's really amazing. Because in this material world, under the cloud of the false ego, we have this insatiable thirst to feel ourselves superior to others. From a spiritual perspective, this is a disease. But in the world, we're thinking, it's the greatest accomplishment. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. That the basic principles of the bondage that cause suffering is the misconceptions of I and mine. It doesn't mean there is no I and mine. It means the misconception of I and mine. In the true spiritual sense, I am an eternal loving servant of the servant of the Supreme. That's the liberated I. And mine is all the blessings that great personalities are giving me to empower me in my service. But that mine is based on gratitude. But under the illusion of ahankar, illusion, we want, I must feel myself superior to you. And mine. That means my nation is better than yours. My religion is better than yours. My team is better than yours. All this mine, it has to be superior. I remember I once was with a man who was considered one of the greatest five baseball managers in the history of baseball. In India, you don't know what baseball is. It's kind of a strange way of playing cricket. from your perspective. But then this whole idea of I and mine, because in America, when they see cricket, they think it's a strange way of playing baseball. And personally, I don't understand any of it. But this man, he was so accomplished. And he told me, he told a little audience that he was speaking to, that when their team would lose, he would teach the team, we should be very happy for the team that won. Do you ever hear of such a manager? Usually you're feeling miserable. We lost, and we can't tolerate that they won. But he said, no, no, whenever we lose, we should feel happy for them. They won. But we should also learn from that experience how we could do better next time. So there was no jealousy, there was no envy. And it was through this type of formula that he had the most winning teams. To be a well-wisher of others. That's what Dharma actually is. So the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the capacity and the relish, the joy, the ecstasy of feeling others to be better than me. Does that sound sweet? It takes realization. You can't pretend. So a group of sages were in Prayag, which is Prayagraj, which is Ramchandra said, Lord Ram, this is the holiest of holy places, where the Yamuna, Ganga, and Saraswati's rivers all join together. In fact, this month there's Kumbh Mela right there. And they're approximating about 100 million people will be bathing there. It's quite popular. So during one of these great melas, these Kumbh melas, the sages saw this one Brahmin. He was offering such wonderful, perfect, devotional, precision worship to the Lord. And he was serving all the people. He was serving prasad to the sadhus. And Narada Muni went to him and said, you are the greatest of all the devotees. You are most dear to Krishna. Look at your worship. Now when somebody like Narada Muni, who's an authority in Mahajan, tells you that, it's very convenient to say, well, whatever you say is true. You know, if somebody comes and tries to flatter you to get, you know, you are so good, but they were wanting to get your money or your help or you to solve one of their problems. But Narada Muni doesn't need anything from anyone. He's just speaking out of his heart with joy. You are the most dear to Krishna. And he said, actually, I'm not dear at all. Who am I? What am I doing? I'm trying my best, but it's all full of flaws. But there's a great king in South India. And what he could do, you know, I'm feeding some sadhus. That's nice. But he's feeding a whole kingdom. I'm helping a few people here. But what is he doing? The volume? The quality? He's truly great. So Narada Muni being a saintly person, he understood that, yes, this person truly is great because he's appreciating the qualities in another. And he's humbling himself before the qualities of another. Because the more we know Krishna, who has limitless beauty and limitless knowledge, limitless wealth, limitless fame, limitless renunciation, Lord Brahma, who's in every type of quality, he's superior than anyone in this universe. But when he stood before little Krishna, who was just a small cowherd boy, not even a cowherd boy, he was a calf herd boy. When Brahma met Krishna during this Brahma Vimohan Leela, Krishna was so small, he was taking care of calves. Nanda Maharaj, Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sunanda, Nandana, you know, the great cowherd men, they didn't think Krishna was old enough or strong enough or skilled enough to take care of cows. That came later. These little calves. And Krishna's standing with some fruit and dahi in his hand, looking bewildered. Where are my calves? Where are my friends? Brahma understood who Krishna was. Brahma gave an analogy. A firefly on a moonless night, they really think they're illuminating the universe. I've seen it. After reading this prayer, I studied fireflies. Because, you know, it's good to understand where we're at. So at night, the firefly is going, and a burst of light comes from him. And I guess, you know, he has these little tiny eyes, and he's in the sky, he's flying, and when he does that, it must be like, to him, it looks like he's illuminating the universe. But then, the sun comes up. At noon, in the month of May, in Mumbai, the firefly is going, pss, 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 pss. And in the blazing light of the sun, he realizes, I'm insignificant. And then if he becomes analytical, he realizes whatever light I have, it's only coming from the sun. So the more we know God, the more humble we are. The more we're feeling such joy in Krishna's greatness. That is why Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana. By hearing Krishna's glories, we become so purified. Param Drishvani Vartate. We develop this higher taste. Because when we take pleasure in hearing about the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Krishna, the teachings of Krishna, the greatness of God, our happiness is in the limitless glories of the Lord. And even more, in the glories of those who love the Lord. Because that's who the Lord loves so dearly. Krishna loves everyone. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. Krishna loves everyone equally. Every living entity, no matter what you do. But at the same time, he reciprocates and feels indebtedness and gratitude to those who have love for him. And most of all, those who have love for those who he loved, who are assisting in the mission of the compassion of this world. So here we find this Brahman, when he's being glorified by Narada Muni, such a sage, he could easily just bow his head, fold his hands and say, Narada Muni, yes, by your mercy, I am the greatest devotee. But he's not like that. He's appreciating another devotee in South India who's a king. And this king sees everything as God's property. He's the caretaker. He's using everything for the well-being of his citizens. He's seeing every single citizen of every species of life. Just like a father or a mother cares for their own child. Entrusted with responsibility. So Narada Muni went to the southern kingdom, and when he saw this king selflessly serving everyone in such unprecedented ways, nobody has ever seen. And Narada Muni said, you are the most dear devotee. And the king, just all he could do was speak all of his shortcomings. He said, I'm not a devotee. Compared to Indra? Indra's really a great devotee. He does yajnas and Vishnu comes personally and receives it. And he's just glorifying Indra. So Narada Muni goes to Swargaloka, to Indra. And he tells Indra, you are the best, you are the greatest, I'm seeing with my own eyes. And Indra's saying, I'm such a fallen soul, I make so many mistakes. I tried to destroy Krishna and the whole Vrindavan community with torrents of rain just because of my false ego. And Krishna lifted up the Govardhan Hill to humble me, and so many times I'm doing these things. I have no real devotion. But Brahma, he has true devotion. Narada Muni went to Brahma. Glorified Brahma. What a devotee. He's the guru of Narada. The param guru of Vyasadeva, the compiler of all the Vedas. He's a whole sampradaya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in as sampradaya. At the beginning of creation, the Lord began all the Vedic knowledge by playing his flute with all wisdom to Brahma. And Brahma saying, I stole all Krishna's cowherd boys and his calves. What kind of devotee am I? And he went on and on. We don't have time to give all of your, but we'll give a class just on this soon. Such a beautiful story. But Brahma saying, Shiva, he drank a whole ocean of poison out of compassion for all living beings. The Srimad Bhagavatam tells, the greatest service that pleases the Supreme is the willingness to endure hardships to show compassion to others. Mahadev Shiva, he is the greatest. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. So Narada Muni went to Shiva Loka. There he met Shiva and he was glorifying Shiva and playing his veena and singing the glories of Shiva. You are the greatest. Even the Srimad Bhagavatam says you are the greatest. You drank ocean of poison. It's limitless glories of Shiva. And Shiva, so many mistakes I made. Now, when devotees are saying how many mistakes they're made, that's not their fault. That's their glory that they're seeing that way. In this world, when we think like that, we can become really depressed. But when it's in glorification of another, when we're humbling ourselves before another, it's ecstatic
joy to the soul, to the heart. Banasura. I fought against Krishna just to defend this asura. And he went on and on and on about his disqualifications. He said, if you want to know what's really, it's the residence of Vaikuntha. And even among the residents of Vaikuntha, Prahlad. Here is Mahadev Shiva, the greatest of the devatas. And he's glorifying and feeling himself completely humble before this 5-year-old little boy, Prahlad. Shiva dances and he could destroy the creation. Prahlad is just sitting and chanting. It's by the mercy of my guru, Narada. So now Narada is going to his own disciple. Prahlad is his disciple. Prahlad was in the womb of his mother, and Narada Muni, Bhagavad Dharma, he spoke all knowledge to him to enlighten him. And even when Narasingha Dev performed his incredible protection to show the glory of Prahlad, he said, actually, I'm nothing. It's only by the mercy of Narada Muni, my guru, that I know anything good. All credit goes to him. So Narada Muni went to Prahlad's abode and was sharing his great appreciation for his own disciple. Here is Narada Muni humbling himself before his own disciple. You are the greatest devotee. Hare Krishna. He wasn't saying, bow to me. He was bowing to Prahlad in his heart of hearts. And Prahlad is listening patiently and just, what are you saying? So what am I doing? I'm just praying all the time. And every time I'm in a helpless condition, Krishna has to come and save me. What's so great about that? I was thrown in a pit of snakes and Krishna saved me. I was thrown in the bottom of the ocean and Krishna saved me. I was thrown off the top of a high mountain and Krishna saved me. I was fed poison and Krishna saved me. I was cast into a raging fire and Krishna saved me. The most powerful military phalanxes of asuras were trying to stab me and cut me into pieces, and Krishna saved me. But what am I doing for Krishna? If you want to know who's really great, Hanuman. Hanuman's doing everything for Ram. He's not asking Ram to save him. When Lakshman was put on the ground, when Lakshman was put on the ground, he was dying, Ram was crying, and Hanuman jumped to the Gandhamadana mountain and picked up the whole mountain and came with the healing herb to save Ram's brother. And when Ram and Lakshman were both unconscious on the field, Hanuman brought them up another mountain with another herb to save them. When Ram wanted to find Sita, Hanuman leapt across the ocean to give Sita his message. And when Ravana set his tail on fire, chanting Jai Ram, he burned the city of Sri Lanka. This is Hanuman. Prahlad said, God's always coming to save me, but Hanuman is always engaged in the most precious services to the Lord. He's the greatest. He is truly a recipient of the Lord's mercy. Narada went to Hanuman and started praising all these things and more. And Hanuman was just quietly listening. He said, no, what am I? If I was really the recipient of the mercy of the Lord, then why the Lord left me? Ram left for his own abode and I'm sitting here. The persons who have truly received the mercy of the Lord are the Pandavas. Because they're the friends of the Lord. They're the relatives of the Lord. The Lord is with them. And he was glorifying the Pandavas. See, these devotees didn't want to hear their own glories. They wanted to glorify others. It's opposite of material psychology. Narada went to the Pandavas. You are the recipients of the Lord's greatest mercy. You are the best devotees. And he was telling all the reasons why. And each of the Pandavas started speaking their own shortcomings. Bhima, devotees aren't supposed to eat too much. Dude, I am Brikodar. I eat so much. And I get mad all the time. Devotees are supposed to be controlling their anger. In Arjuna, he was describing so many of his shortcomings in Kurukshetra and so many other places. And Nakula, Sahadev, Yudhisthira. You know, why did I play dice and my wife and my Draupadi and so many. If you really want to understand who's dear to the Lord, it's the Yadus in Dwarka. The Lord lives, in fact, right now, he's living with them, in constant association with them. He's abandoned us. Yes, we became the kings. He coronated me as king, but then he left. The residents of Dwarka, headed by Ugrasena, are truly the recipients of the Lord's mercy. Narada went to Ugrasena and the residents of Dwarka and began to glorify them, even the queens. And it comes right back to the verse today. They said, whatever you're saying, Narada, is your opinion. But in our opinion, there is no one more dear to the Lord than Uddhava. He's constant companion. He dines with Krishna. He takes walks with Krishna. He lays down to they lay down after taking prasad and discuss the most intimate things in their hearts together. The most difficult missions. Whether it's going to Hastinapur or whether it's going to Vrindavan, he entrusts with Uddhava. He is the dearmost. Narada went to Uddhava. And Uddhava, he was expressing, I used to think like that I was the most fortunate. But then Krishna, he told me to carry a message to the Brijavasis. Because I am his most, of everyone in Mathura and Dwarka, I am his most trusted associate. You carry this message to the Brijavasis. Krishna didn't send me there to give a message to the Brijavasis. He went there because he wanted to show me how I have no love at all compared to them. When I saw their love, their devotion, Uddhava himself prayed to just be a little plant, Gulmalata, growing near Kusum Sarovar at the foot of Govardhan, so that the cows or the calves or the peacocks who are dear to Krishna may step on his head, so that the gopas or the gopis may step on his head. And by getting the dust of their feet, he may develop their qualities of devotion and love. When Narada Muni was speaking to Uddhava, so many things were happening in Dwarka. And the culmination of the story was that those who are the most dear to Krishna are the gopis. But the gopis consider themselves just ordinary girls making garlands. They're not kings who are mobilizing armies. They are not yogis who are performing great mystic miracles. They are not scholars who are mesmerizing hundreds and thousands, millions of people by their incredible presentation of siddhanta or logic or humor or whatever. They're just simple girls. They're cooking. They're plucking flowers. They're taking care of their children. That's the way they're feeling. They're seeing everyone as better than them. But everyone is seeing them as the best. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's such a transcendentally fascinating psychology. The psychology of love. Spiritual love. There is simply no need to feel myself superior. We actually take limitless pleasure in seeing the good qualities in others. Why? Because we know that gives Krishna greatest happiness. And when we give Krishna happiness, some siddhya haritoshanam, then Krishna's mercy comes upon us. It is a principle that Krishna's mercy always follows the mercy of his devotees. That was Lord Chaitanya's principle of being the servant of the servant of the servant. And it begins with gratitude and appreciation. When we put ourselves in the center, then we could become arrogant. If we do something good, we could become depressed or envious or jealous if somebody else is doing something better. But in the transcendental field, it's really how Krishna's reciprocating in our heart. Vaishnav community, what does it mean? It doesn't mean we all just sit in a nice air-conditioned room together. We're truly a Vaishnav community to the extent we're grateful to each other. We appreciate each other. We're well wishers of each other. To the degree we develop those qualities, we're actually making advancement. Whatever other accomplishments we may have, if we're not developing those qualities, we're not really progressing. Paradukaduki is the nature of a devotee. Another person's suffering becomes an issue that causes them pain. But that's not the type of suffering we know. The suffering of compassion is actually based on love. It's infinitely more satisfying than superficial pleasure. Devotees cry tears of compassion
when they see people separated from the true treasure of joy. Sarve sukhano bhavantu. Srila Prabhupada said, this Vedic injunction is the very basis of Vaishnava culture. Let every living being be happy. But real happiness. Not just superficial, temporary happiness that ultimately culminates in pain. Devotees on every level want to see people happy. And that's our happiness. When Krishna sees the tears of compassion of a saintly person, Krishna cannot resist from giving mercy upon those who are the objects of their compassion. Sri Advaitacharya, he took the role of a devotee. And what was the process in which he induced the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and Sri Radha to descend into this material world as the most magnanimous and merciful of all incarnations? It was his tears of compassion for us. For years, he cried, unable to bear to see the pain of people in this world. That Krishna, please come and give them your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya, who appeared so many times in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he declares, I have only come to this world because of the tears, the compassion, and the loving prayers of Advaita. And it is for this reason that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was always trying to collect the dust of the feet of Advaita. And he declared that Advaita is the leader of the entire Vaishnava community. Not because of his prowess, but because of his compassion, his forgiveness, his love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a beautiful prayer, he encapsulates all this eternal wisdom. Shuddha Bhakata Paramarenu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Premalati Karamula. He's praying that the dust of the lotus feet of a bhakta, a devotee, a shuddha bhakta, a pure devotee. In other words, service to a devotee, appreciation and gratitude to devotee. It, more than anything else in the creation, it purifies our heart and empowers us in our own devotion, in our own capacity to sincerely cry out the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi. Service to a devotee is the greatest of all perfections. Paramasiddhi. We learn about all these mystic yoga cities that Krishna is speaking about, becoming bigger than the biggest or smaller than the smallest, reading people's minds, controlling people, being able to, just by chanting of a mantra, to produce gold or produce wonderful, wonderful palaces. The capacity to fulfill all one's desires, the capacity to create planets, the capacity
to go into the Ganga at Gangotri, and within 1 second, you go down in Gangotri on the peaks of the Himalayas, and you come up in Prayag during Kumbh Mela. We're thinking that's impossible. For you, it's impossible. For me, it's impossible. But really, if 200 years ago, someone would just come up with a cellular phone and start talking to somebody 10,000 miles away with a video along with it, they would probably worship you as God. Or at least a great yogi. Because it was impossible. It's impossible if you don't know how to do it. But through the controlling of the subtle energies, these great miracles we're talking about would seem impossible. It's just common sense. Siddhaloka is a planet where everybody has all these powers. So it's just ordinary daily life. Seeing people do these things. We just don't know how to do it. You know, for a little ant, it's pretty impossible to build a skyscraper, or to speak of a computer. But to us, it's just become our daily life. So compared to mystic yogis, we're like little ants. But compared to a pure devotee who has no desire for any of these things, mystic yogis are not even ants. But the greatest of the greatest of the greatest feel themselves little ants. But what is their happiness? Krishna's infinite glory. And appreciation of those who love Krishna. And those who are trying to love Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Paramasiddhi, the supreme of all perfections, is to serve those who love the Lord. To serve those who are even having the intent to love the Lord. Prema Latikara Mula. Because such service to the devotees is the mula, the root of the creeper of prema. It's the very heart, the root of bhakti. And the goal of bhakti, love of God, prema. What is that root? Servant of the servant of the servant. To serve the devotees, to appreciate the devotees, to love the devotees. When we embrace within our hearts these values, then we know we're truly making spiritual progress. And we actually have a community. Please don't be discouraged, because these are very high ideals. We may be tens and millions of light years away from these ideals. But it's very simple. If we simply enshrine on the altar of what we hold valuable, these ideals, and try according to our little tiny capacity to live by these ideals, value these ideals, then kripa, then the realization and the perfection of them are given to us. What's impossible to achieve is given to us. If this is what we hold dear in our lives. Thank you very much.
have kirtan. But before that, you are having announcement, adhikesha Prabhu. Excuse me? So you are having announcement. So Adi Keshav Prabhu will bless us with an announcement.